coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency. Now, here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency. And we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in Daphne, Alabama. And boy, we are so glad to have you with us on a beautiful Saturday morning. The Three Musketeers are back together. I am Randy Bergen. Coach Mark Laster, how you doing, brother? Long time no see.
I know, buddy. I'm glad you got back. Glad you had a great trip. And we're glad to be here. I'm just glad to be here with you guys.
Well, I'll tell you, it is good to be back. And Coach Rick, it is always good to hang out with you. And you gave me a book today, and I'm looking forward to reading that thing. It's exciting.
It's a good one. Chris Yeager up at Mountain Brook sent it to me, and he said, Rick, knowing you, after you read it, you're going to buy about 15 or 20 books. Well, sure enough, I did. I bought one. And, guys, listen, I sent Clay a book. And when I got to the UPS store to send it to him, I opened the book up, and it was a hardback like y'all's. Yeah. And there was already somebody that had written. Oh. So I bought these on Thrift Store. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
And you can get them, they're a $15 book. You can get it for like seven
sure.
or eight.
Yeah.
And so I apologized to him. I said, somebody had written as a graduation gift. I said, Clay, I wish I could have got this to you as a graduation gift, but I couldn't. But he's got the book. You guys have got the book. And I tell you right now, it's something special. It really is. And Mark, as much as he likes to read, once he picks it up, I say within 2 days you'll have it finished. And then you'll be calling me, and you'll say, this is pretty strong. So,
looking forward to it.
Thankful. And I want to know who won the prize, you or Vinny.
Well, it's kind of funny you asked that, Coach, because me and Vinny actually wound up being on teams, and we took on Starkey and Greg Lockhart in our little match out in California, and we had an absolute blast out there. We played some beautiful, beautiful golf courses.
Yeah.
Out in that north of San Diego, it's called Dana Point.
Yeah,
we had a great time, and we won. We won our little coins, if you will, team coins, and beautiful silver. So
that's awesome.
Thank goodness for Vin. He played like a pro. I asked him, "Have you thought about going pro?" And he was playing so good. So.
Yeah. He plays all the time, Randy.
He plays all the time. I'm like, man, I need a job like yours. But we had a good time. It is good to be back, though. And, hey, speaking of golf, we got a big day tomorrow. We've got the Southern Fairways Golf Tour at Glen Lakes. We're doing something that's going to be a lot of fun. And you'll be able to see this on the Fox 10 Golf Stream. We're actually going to have cameras out there, and we're going to be recording hole number 12.
Yeah, par 3.
Yep, as all the guys come out, it's really, really going to be neat. I want to thank Fox 10 and Kip Raley and all of them for putting this together. So we're excited about it.
Kip just won a big award. I don't know what it is, but it was for a production that won at Nikki Williamson, I think. She did. Kip said, man, this story took a year off of my life. But they won a huge award, and congratulations to Kipper on that.
Absolutely. Hey, big show lined up for you. We're going to go around the state here in just a few moments. But at 8:30, we'll have Catherine Spurgeon on with Green and Phillips. She has the AHSAA Coastal Player of the Year. And, Coach, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it is. It's a good one. He's a good player. And he's just a junior. And I think he scored 35 goals this year, and that's 10 more than anybody's ever scored before. So, yeah, he's something special.
The Massey of high school, if you will.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Good stuff. At 8:45, we'll talk with Susan Shaw with UMS Wright Volleyball, and then the Legend Series. Boy, we got a good one with Tony Stallworth.
Yeah, Tony's a former basketball teammate of mine, and I apologize that we've been so long to do this. And Tony's a guy that had to work in the state office, and he didn't always make people happy, as much as I hate to say it. But he had a job he had to do. But Tony's one of the finest men that I've ever been around. Great teammate, great high school basketball coach. And I tell him all the time, you should have been a great basketball coach. You coached all those Persons boys at Brantley, and they wore everybody out. But then he went to work for Steve at the state office in 2011, and there's bukus of stories and some stories we don't want to tell today, but some others that we will. But just a fabulous, fabulous man, had a great career, and we're looking forward to recognizing Tony Stallworth
today. That'll be fun. Of course, you'll Mark, you'll wrap up the show with the Camp Gray segment.
Yeah, looking forward to that today. You know, just some things I have on my heart, can't wait to share today. But it's you know, it's funny how you go through our lives, and we find things and we see things. And you know me, I like to do things that have happened like during the week. I like to talk about that kind of stuff, and it was just kind of fun, you know, to watch the 7-on-7 tournament that we were in Thursday and watch all the things. I mean, there was hundreds of kids out there and coaches, and you saw the best and worst. You know, during that day, you saw the best in players and coaches, and you saw some of the worst.
Yeah,
you know, and that's sad, but it's just that's the way it is. And hopefully, they'll learn from it. And I enjoyed the tournament, and I thought Coach King and Daphne did a really good job putting it on.
So that's where it was at Daphne.
It was at Tryon Park.
Okay,
yeah,
and they had all the fields marked off. They had, gotcha. I think they had 6 fields going, I think.
Wow.
And there were people playing, there were balls flying through the air all day long.
You know, Mark, you might want to tell the listeners what they do in 7-on-7, because there's no linemen. It's just like playing backyard football.
It is. 7-on-7 is, you know, you go in, and, of course, there are ways you can go in there, and some of it is unrealistic.
Yeah.
You know, you can throw a pass that's a 2-yard pass that if you actually did it in a game, it would hit your offensive lineman in the back, you know. So that's a little unrealistic. But there are some really good parts to it that I really like, that you can really go and work on your coverages. You can see how your guys are doing on defensively, offensively. Do our guys understand the spacing of their routes? Does my quarterback understand his reads? Does he understand what he's looking at?
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, now, you know, used to, it was just you're out there looking at it. Now there's drones flying everywhere, you know, and people have got drones, and they've got video cameras on the sidelines. And I'm like, man, this game has changed so much since 1982 when I first got started. I'm like, Lord, I'm hurt. But 7-on-7 is just touch football with 7 guys, and the quarterback has 4 seconds to get rid of the ball. There's somebody standing there with a stopwatch who counts it down. And 4 seconds really in 7-on-7 seems a little long, but that's really what it is.
Yeah.
You know, but in our real football game, in that 4 seconds, there could be somebody pressuring him from the back, which makes him move this way or move that way. Yeah. In this game, he just stands in the pocket. But it's still great. It really is. It's really great to get out and do that and compete, and that's what I really like to watch.
Is it too soon to ask, but was there somebody that stood out to you or a team that stood out to you?
Well, I'll tell you right. When I'm stood at the guy, if you just want to see somebody who stand out to you, you walk over there and you're looking across the field and you see this dude who's standing there, and he's about 6'4". He's got a full beard. He's about 235, and he wears the Cardinal – shirt from St. Michael is Gunnar Rivers.
Yeah.
He is a grown man. I promise you. He is a grown man.
And he can fling it.
And he can throw it. And he's so smart, you know, and it's just he's almost to the point. Now, Philip would never admit this,
right,
but it's just like Philip playing quarterback. I mean, he knows every read. He knows every throw. He knows where the ball's going, usually before the ball snapped, just by looking out there. And he's been doing it quite a while now, and
It doesn't hurt to have your dad as a
pro football player. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, he's got a football field in his yard. I mean, that's what they do all day long.
But I mean, they won the tournament, they beat a very good Daphne team, and I think it was in the semis.
Yeah, because Mobile Christian finished second.
Is that who it was?
Yeah.
Mobile Christian.
That was a surprise to me.
Yeah, because we beat them earlier in the day.
Well, maybe it was a different division. Maybe
no, it was the same group.
Was it?
Yeah. I didn't see the finals after we got beat by St. Michael in the semis.
Yeah.
And So, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I said, dang hot. When that game ended, we loaded the truck, cleaned up our area. I got my truck and went home. I didn't want to watch another play.
No more.
No more. Enough. Cried uncle.
Uncle. Uncle. Uncle. All right. Hey, let's take our first time out. When we come back, we're going to go around the state. A lot going on. Hey, we're just about a month, a little over a month from high school football kicking off.
Yeah, so that's right.
We'll go around the state, talk about some things happening when we come back right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
I love Michael McDonald. I'm telling you.
He's good. There's no doubt. Good. There is no doubt. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Mark Laster, Coach Rick Cleveland. And, guys, I got to tell you, I'm happy to be back. It's great. It's been a – how long has it been?
It's been a while.
It's been weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And so thank y'all for hanging –
We love doing that. But at the same time, it's hard. Every time the prompt comes up, and back to Randy. We just look at each other and say,
"Where Randy? Hey, not here. That boy not here.
Please come home.
That boy not
Please
here.
Please come home."
Oh, my goodness. Hey, we were talking about Phillip Rivers just a few moments ago. You got the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star Game that will happen December the 12th at Hancock-Whitney Stadium there, home of the South Alabama Jaguars. And Phillip Rivers' name happens to pop up here.
I want to call him Dwight Busby every time, but Richie Busby, your longtime friend, a buddy of ours. And Richie's been an assistant. He was an assistant, I think, for Terry. He was on Terry's, and imagine that. They're such big buddies anyway. But he's a great football coach. He's a head coach at Fultondale for 5 years, and he's been at Helena, I think, for 9, maybe 10 years. And so Richie has paid his dues, and he'll be the head coach of the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star Game. So he gets to pick his coaches. And so the coaches that he picked, well, he needed an offensive coordinator, so he goes and gets Phillip Rivers. Well, you know that probably more than likely who the quarterback's going to be, even though we've got a bunch of good quarterbacks in the state this year. But I'm sure that he'll be one of them. So Phillip will coordinate the offense. And then Bart Sessions down at Alma Bryant is going to coordinate the defense. And Bart's a tremendous defensive football coach. And I've always said that, you know, if I would imagine Bart could run any defense at any school in the state. That means Troy, Jacksonville, Alabama, Auburn. I mean, he's that good of a football coach. So, and also Steve Maskey's son, Brett. Brett is on that staff. Brett, and you know where this place is better than I do, even though I had a college teammate from this place. Brett Maskey is the head coach at Lexington High School. Now, isn't that up there somewhere? That's not up there.
I don't really know where Lexington is, honestly.
Maybe it's close to Muscle Shoals or somewhere up there, but we had a boy, Danny Springer, that played with us at Huntington. Dang good basketball player, but he was country as country can be. And just love the guy, absolutely love him. And
that's a good staff they put together. Yeah. And, you know, Richie Busby, he's one of my favorite people, just a great guy. Every time you see him, just a smile on his face, you know, how anything he can ever do to help you, he'll do.
That's
it.
Right.
And, you know, he hired two of the best coaches around, you know, for that round of for football. That'll be a lot of fun to watch that. And so congratulations to them and to Phillip and Bart. You know, it's a lot of fun to do that. And that's tiring. And it comes, you know, at a tough time right there at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And but it's still a lot of fun. It's a fun game to coach in, and they'll have a ball doing that.
Yeah.
Lexington, by the way, Lexington, Alabama's right up there on that Alabama-Tennessee line.
Is it?
And as they used to say at Hee Haw, on Hee Haw, population 727. Hee Haw.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly right.
There's not a golf.
Salute.
Is there a golf course up here?
I don't know.
Well, you would know.
I would doubt that there is.
Well,
it's over close to Muscle Shoals, I would think.
It's not far from the line at all.
Yeah.
Wow. Never been to Lexington. into Lexington.
It's part of that Florence Muscle Shoals.
I tell you what,
metropolitan
area. That is some pretty country.
It really is. It really is.
That's a pretty part of Alabama up around that Muscle Shoals. That whole corner up there is beautiful.
That's like the place where, as a kid, I went to camp at Camp Laney in Mentone, Alabama.
Yes, sir.
And if you ever get a chance to go to Mentone, you want to go to Mentone,
beautiful,
Alabama.
Beautiful place.
Little River Canyon.
Yep.
Boy, it's a beautiful place.
Hey, Coach, talk a little about the non-compliant transfers. I know that's a little topic going around right now.
Well, and that's the problem that we have, is non-compliant. Because a non-compliant transfer, and this is really, I think the state office is spending a lot of time on this right now. And, Mark, we've been involved in this for, forever. It's just about bona fide moves. And if people make bona fide moves and do it the way the rule book says to do it, and the whole family moves, say your Mark wants to take his child, and he's been offered a job at Childersburg High School. Well, mama can't stay at home with the little girl who's in the third grade while the son, who's a promising 11th grade student, while Mark and the son move on up to Childersburg and live in the principal's house up there, and Michelle and the daughter stay back at home. That's not a bona fide move. Bona fide move, Mark. Go ahead.
The entire household has to move. Yep. It has to move. Everything lock, stock, and barrel from one place to the other. Everything in that house that they were living in has got to come out.
Yep.
It's supposed to come out.
Yeah.
I think there are some things that they do. If you close the house down, you cut off everything, and your furniture has to be all brought to the middle of the biggest room in the house, which would be, I mean, nothing in the closets, nothing in the bedrooms.
Yeah.
And it all has got to be covered.
Yeah.
I think that's something to that nature. In other words, what you're doing is you're leaving that there so you can come back to it at the end of the 9-month period.
Right.
And I think you can do that, but even that can get touchy.
Yeah.
You know, because it just can. And it makes it hard on the people who are investigating it.
Yeah.
But supposed to move lock, stock, and barrel. Yeah. Everybody in the house moves to the new location within the school district that they're going to. That's where they got.
Not to bring a negative, but we don't always see that, do we?
No, we don't.
No.
We don't. And I sometimes don't know how or what people are doing. And I've gotten to the point now where it bothers me so much. It was living rent-free in my head. Put it that way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I just said, you know what? If people are going to do things wrong, I hope they get caught. And if they don't, and they can look themselves in the mirror at night, then that's on them.
Yeah.
It's not on me, and I'm not going to worry about it. But it's so, you know, what I haven't liked, you know, and right now, like transfers, my understanding is that I was talking to a good friend of mine, the new athletic director at Daphne, Brian Williamson.
Yeah.
And Brian and I would go back to our days together at Fairhope, and he was telling me, he goes, that one of the things that all athletic directors and principals are having to do in the state of Alabama is to go back now and do all the paperwork on any transfer kid from 7th grade on.
That's
anybody.
Right.
And they have to have all that paperwork and have it all documented. And I'm like, you know, that's not a bad thing. It should have been done when it transpired, you know, but I guess at that time that was probably done, and whether the paperwork's still there, I don't know. But regardless of the fact, some of these kids aren't playing anymore.
Right.
You know, why do you have to do it for them?
And they're supposed to mark it when they first start playing. That's what the Transfer Portal Committee did, was they recommended that. And so they put that into, you know, that was one of the things that we recommended, and they did that. And it does make it harder for the ADs. It does.
But once it's done, it's done.
That's right. From the inception, after the third day of school of whatever year,
But right now what they're having to do, like Brian was telling me, they've got to get this done by the 20-somethingth of July.
July.
For every kid.
Yeah.
7th grade on.
Yeah.
And so once that's done, that'll be the big bulk. After that, it just becomes you do it each time somebody
transfers in.
And, you know, but at the same time, they're going to have to do something to get a hold of this thing, because people are just going everywhere anytime they want to.
You're right.
It's just, and it's crazy. So I, I hope they get something. I think there's a big meeting that's coming Friday.
There is.
I think because, you know, this Monday starts the All-Star Week in Montgomery. And so there'll be a lot of coaches and a lot of talk going on up there. So,
is that the state meeting?
Yeah.
For next week with Buster Daniel?
Well, what the meeting Mark is talking about is Glenn Lott, who is the head football coach at Macon East. They're trying to kind of redo the Alabama Independent School Association.
Right.
And they're trying to draw some of our private schools into their association and rename it something where they're just going to be a different entity.
I got you. Right. I got you. All right. Hey, let's take a time out. When we come back, we'll visit with Green and Phillips' Catherine Spurgeon. She's got our AHSAA Coastal Soccer Player of the Year. Happens next right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. We're letting that run for just a second.
Yes.
It's been a minute since I've heard that.
Some good music.
And Catherine will enjoy
She loves Steely Dan.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I hope Steve has got her where she can hear all this, because that will motivate her to be even better.
There you go. A little Steely Dan to bring us back as we welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Mark Laster, Coach Rick Cleveland. And it is time to go to our Boo George Cajun Grill guest line and welcome in Catherine Spurgeon with Green and Phillips. As she gives us the AHSAA Coastal Soccer Player of the Year. And, Catherine, we welcome you. But before we do that, I have been requested to do this right here. Let's see.
Boy, Mark. This is fabulous.
This is some great music.
Right. We're going to buy Catherine a ticket to wherever Boz is, we'll send her there by David's plane.
That's some good stuff right there, LaBoss Gags. So, but now you've been listening. You've been doing your homework, and you've been listening to some Boz Gags, so you knew that was Georgia, right?
Exactly, yes. I was ready for the trivia today.
Now she's lying.
That's a tongue-in-cheek
that's
right there.
That's a tongue-in-cheek answer.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Catherine, thank you for being part of the show this morning. Tell us about and tell us who the AHSAA Coastal Soccer Player of the Year is.
Yes, this year's High School Boys Soccer Player of the Year is St. Michael's Catholic Junior Jake Lazary. And Jake led the Cardinals, coached by Robert Rodriguez, to the 5A state championship this spring with a 2-1 victory over Indian Springs. And he scored both of those goals in the championship match and was then named the game's most valuable player. And then Jake earned Super All-State First Team, 5A All-State First Team, and 5A Area 1 First Team honors. He was also recognized as Fox 10's Beyond the Gridiron Player of the Week and WKRG United States Sports University's Scholar Athlete of the Week, so obviously he's doing very well in the classroom as well. Jake finished the season by setting new St. Michael's Catholic School records with 35 goals and 20 assists, breaking the previous school record of 25 goals.
Good. Holy cow.
35 goals?
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
He's the Messi of high school.
No doubt.
Oh, my goodness. Well, congratulations to him. Great job. Great job. All right, we got to get the law question in here real quick, okay? Here you go.
Okay.
If the insurance company has already accepted fault for the accident, does that mean the claims process will automatically be fair?
That is a good question, and the answer is not necessarily, because even if the insurance company accepts fault, that does not mean that they'll automatically offer a fair compensation. For example, they might still dispute the extent of your injuries or whether a certain medical treatment was necessary, or they might, you know, make a settlement offer that's less than what your claim is actually worth. So it's important, you know, in those circumstances to understand your rights before accepting any offer at all. So an experienced local personal injury attorney, like the attorneys at Green and Phillips, can really help make sure that you're being treated fairly and that you aren't leaving money on the table.
You know, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you guys here in our area and in Birmingham as well.
Sure. Well, we're located at 51 North Florida Street here in Mobile, Midtown Mobile. And you never need an appointment. Just come on in if you'd like to sit down with an attorney and just kind of see what they think of your case. Or you could call or text us anytime at 251-300-2000. And then, as y'all know, in Birmingham, we're in the Watts Tower downtown, and you can call or text 205-500-4000 to get a hold of our Birmingham office.
Now, also in Atlanta, too,
yeah,
right?
They got one. Well, they're looking for an office in Atlanta, okay. But they have attorneys in Atlanta, right, Catherine?
Yes, sir. Yep, we are licensed and able to practice in the state of Georgia. And, I mean, you can call the same 251-300-2000 number for us to get you in touch with our Georgia people.
There you go. Man, I mean, that was a perfect layup for Boss Gags in Georgia, wasn't it?
That's right.
Absolutely. Hey, now look, Catherine, I got a little. Why don't we put a little bet together on this one? Give me somebody that I need to listen to from the modern era, and I'll give you a Boss Gags song you got to find.
Oh my gosh! Okay, I'm ready.
Tell me who you want.
Person is going to be Olivia Dean. The song is okay. Man I Need. She's a new artist. She's great. That's
all right.
My homework.
And I'm gonna give you Boss Gags, Lowdown.
Oh.
Ooh. Okay. Well, we'll circle back next week then, and we'll review together.
That sounds
together.
Good. All right. Who have I got again? Olivia Dean.
Olivia Dean.
What's the name of the song?
Something about
Man
a man.
I Need.
Man I Need.
Come on, Catherine.
There you go.
I want to help you out here.
It might
Catherine,
be your new anthem. We don't know. All right.
You never know.
I want to help you out a little bit with a little Boss Gags and Lowdown.
Oh,
there you go.
Catherine, this is right heaven. There. This is heaven on earth, Catherine.
That is a filet mignon.
That's
right there.
It.
Catherine, thank you for hanging out with us. And we look forward to having you back on again and presenting the AHSAA Coastal Soccer Player of the Year, Boys Soccer Player of the Year, presented by Green and Phillips. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Talk later.
Okay. See you.
That's awesome.
That's great.
She's such a good sport.
She is a great sport.
She really is.
That's right.
I love it. She gets in that game with
us. I'm going to see if I can help you out with that.
Yeah, Olivia Dean.
Olivia Dean. Okay, I'll work on that while y'all chat just a minute.
Well, that's funny.
35 goals.
That's amazing.
Coach, that's unbelievable.
I don't know how many games they play, but that's at least one a game.
At least.
And it's, you know, guys, watching the doggone World Cup, and I can't get into it, but I'm amazed at the kind of conditioning those players are in. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely. And listen, when we watch a high school soccer game, if there's pushing or something, whoop, it stops play. Those guys tackle each other at some points. I mean, they go in and knock the front foot out from under them. They play everything with their eyes. It's unbelievable
right.
How talented they are. It's just amazing to me.
They are. They are. It's, have you watched a lot of it?
Our Tracy's grandson, Will, absolutely loves the World Cup. So he's all about it. And so he's pulling for Argentina because he's a Messi guy. I didn't even know who Messi was.
I was talking with a guy who played soccer at Bayside, and he's Coach Ferguson's son, Ty.
Yeah.
I saw him at NOS training yesterday morning, and he says, Coach, that was it England, Argentina,
yeah,
got
England,
in, and
yeah.
They kind of got into it
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah.
And he says, the Argentina fans, they're rough. They're rough. So they'll come up and just start – you know,
yeah.
If you really go back and look out through history, you know, they had lots of great games in South America for years and years and
right.
years. And there was always a fight
yeah.
with somebody because they're very passionate about it. And they just don't mind walking up and just telling you what they think. Gee. Just don't even know who you are. But they just kind of let you have it a little bit. And of course, you know, that's what they had some on the field and then they had some in the stands.
I have found Olivia Dean. Now, this is unedited. We have no idea what's going to happen.
We are not responsible for the content Green and Phillips are.
That's right. Catherine.
So let's see what we got here.
Talk to me, talk to me. Talk to me, talk to me.
What'd she say? Talk to me?
Talk to me, I guess.
Looks like we're making up for lost time. Need you to spell it out for
that
me.
Ain't bad.
I can listen to that.
I do too. I'm not so much in to find me a man, but I, you know.
No.
That's not, right. bad,
not bad.
It's
not
bad. It almost has a little bit of
yeah, your boy Tom's Tim something. What? Who is it?
No, Teddy Swims.
Teddy Swims. Yeah. Yeah.
You'll be hearing him in the 10 o'clock hour, by the way. But almost a little. What's your name? Oh my goodness, I can't think.
We got dead air here. We're trying. Yeah,
she sounds like. I'll tell you what, it sounds a little bit like Carole King to me.
There you go.
A little bit.
There long time Carole King has that kind of rasp, high rasp to her voice at times.
Let's see. I can listen to that.
That's smooth.
I really could. So next time we have Catherine on, we'll intro her with Olivia Day.
Okay.
There how about go. That? We'll That'd do that. I did my homework. I'm already done.
That's right. That's right. You've already done it. I'm glad you said that about Teddy Swims. When I'm talking to Clay, we try to talk at least once or twice a week, and I'd talk every day if I could, but – you know, the boys work, and I need to. And I know, Randy, you're the same way with Taylor. And you talk to your boys daily at some point in time. But that is special to me.
Yeah.
That's special to me. When I see his name pop up, I just get excited. It's like my dad calling me.
Yep.
It's just kind of reversed. And you got the best of both worlds. You get to talk to your boys, and you pick up the phone and call your dad, and he'll say, "Ah, Mark, I'm just getting old."
I called him a couple of days ago, and I said, "How you doing, Dan?" He goes, "Well, nothing works."
Wow.
He says, "Shoulders don't work, hips don't work, can't get out of the chair, but I'm doing fine."
Well, other than that, I'm doing just
other
fine.
Other than that, I'm doing just good.
And your mom is active on social media.
Yeah, she stays pretty
active.
She
does. Yeah. And I love keeping up with her. I got to put a like every time I see her. What I was going to say is I need to ask Clay if he likes that Teddy Swims guy.
How can you not?
I don't know who he is.
He's pretty good. Now, that's pretty good music. I have to admit that.
Well, I'd like to listen. I mean, I just haven't ever done it.
Well, you don't have time to listen to the radio, Mark.
I've listened to books all the time. That's all I ever listen to. If I'm in the car, that's what I got on is a book.
Good gracious.
But,
I can do that. I don't know about that.
But I tell you what, I do have the – you know, like I get to – like Bryant came by yesterday. He and I piled in the car and drove over to the AMC Jubilee and watched that movie Odyssey.
Yeah.
You know, I love that kind of stuff, them kind of movies. I love them, and it was a great movie. I mean, I could have turned around, and if it didn't cost so much, I'd have gone back in and watched it.
Now, some people do that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. Some people do that, and shame on them for doing that. They'd go in and watch The Odyssey, and then they'd slide over and watch Washington.
Yeah, I can't do that.
No, that's not right.
But that Washington was a great movie, too. So.
Yeah, that's what we've been told. So, I did want to mention this for you Alabama guys. Your boys, some of your boys are going to make a good bit of money this year with Nike.
Yes, they are.
With Nike. And Ryan Williams, or not, it's not Ryan Williams, it's Ryan Coleman Williams.
Right.
And he's re-signed with Nike, so he's going to get a boatload of money. And then your boy from Alexander City, who is a true freshman coming in there. And if I'm – that is that who is that? Sedarian Morgan?
Sedarian Morgan.
He's something special.
He is.
Something special.
6'4", 220.
And then E.J. Crowell, they all signed with Nike, so they're set.
Oh, yeah. They are.
I got something to tell you about somebody transferring from Georgia to Alabama. Principal called and said, "Can our boys still get the NIL money that we're paying them in Georgia?" AHSAA told him, "Heck no, you ain't getting that money. If you get that money, you're ineligible."
That's right.
Good. Good for them.
We'll talk a little volleyball when we come back.
There you
go. Right, volleyball. We'll do that with Susan Shaw right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
There's a little Teddy Swims for you right there. Wait till this cat goes. Rick, he's good.
Yeah, I know he's good. I just hope Susan Dobley, I hope she likes him.
Welcome back to Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Morgan, Coach Mark Laster, Coach Rick Cleland, and it is time to go back to our Boudreaux Cajun Bureau guest line and welcome in Susan Shaw with UMS Wright. She is the volleyball coach. Susan, thank you for taking time and putting up with us and a little Teddy Swims here. Do you know who Teddy Swims is the question.
I sure do. I heard you guys listening to a little Olivia Dean earlier as well. I'm impressed, guys.
We're trying to get out of the 70s.
Hey, that's
it's not working. It's not working for me, real good, Coach.
Hey, you don't try too hard. You
Susan,
know, I grew up with my dad driving me to school every morning, and so it was really cool. I have a great memory. He's originally a Mobilian, but I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, and he drove me to school every morning. And I remember at first I hated his music, but I'll tell you what, Neal Shaw had probably 7,000 different songs that he would cue up, and now I appreciate it. From oldies to newbies, I can listen
there
to anything, anywhere. So
that's awesome.
Susan, thank you for enduring that. we're kind of traditionalist here, but Randy can find a way to motivate us sometimes, and he certainly did with that last Teddy Swim. So I hope that you are okay with that. Susan, congratulations. Congratulations. I know the whole group at UMS is excited about you jumping on board. I mean, when you look at your resume, all it does is says, I love children, I love developing young ladies, and I love developing them to become the best they can be at the sport that I absolutely love, and that would be volleyball. And congratulations. You're going, Susan, I'm prejudiced. I think it is the best education your children can get. I think it's the most well-run school. I'm as you can tell, I appreciate them paying me for 20 years. I do. And it's a great school. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited. We are very excited as a family. It's a family deal, right? My daughter is going into the ninth grade there as well, also a volleyball player. And so we're really excited. And I had really stepped foot on the campus a few times for tournaments and things like that, but really never sat down with anyone there and learned about just the history of UMS and the traditions and what they're about and the development of academics and sports and all of it there. And we've been not only impressed but blessed by just the number of people that have come to us and said, hey, welcome to UMS, here's how we're going to help you, not let us know if you need anything. And that's a huge difference.
Yeah. And what you see is what you get, and I promise you those people that are asking you that and saying that to you, they mean every bit of it. So you are in a great,
Absolutely. Great,
is something that popped out at me. We're not big fans of some of the rulings that come out of the NC2A. And if I'm not mistaken, the Blue Valley North Mustangs in Overland Park, Kansas, Mark, that's where the NC2A offices are.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Hey, correct me.
Yep.
Is that correct, Susan?
Yes, in Kansas City, that's right.
Right. Well, and Overland Park is like Sarah Land or whatever
suburb.
Is the mobility. Yeah. So, but that's a pretty neat deal there. Let me tell you a little bit about Susan, and she'll go into this. She's played and coached with elite clubs at the highest levels, including Nebraska Elite, Omaha Momentum, KC Mavs, and KC Premier. She coached locally for U.S. Juniors for 3 seasons. She was at Bayshore Christian and is the current club coach for Lower Alabama Volleyball. Susan, talk just a little bit about that, because your pedigree there. I mean, you went to Johnson County Community College in Kansas City. Your team was national runner-up there. And then you played for a conference championship at Glenn State University. So volleyball has played a major role in your life.
It has. I'm the youngest, so it all kind of stems back to family. I'm the youngest of 4 girls, and I think it sums it up best. I was at Nationals this last year, and I ran into a longtime family friend, and she looked at me and she said, she kind of pointed at first, and she goes, "You're Shaw, aren't you?" And I said, "I am." and we were in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I had not seen this woman in 20 years. And she said, I remember you from when you were 12 years old, running around the gym, taking a volleyball out of the carts, and finding any dad that would be willing or sibling that would be willing to get up off the bench and just toss you a ball while your sisters played so that you yourself could work on your own skills or just have some fun. And so in the best sense of the term, she said, you were a gym rat. I mean, with three older sisters that all played sports, we all ended up working in sports or running businesses and all sorts of things. So, I chalk it up to just a great tight-knit family growing up and a lot of family time in the gym or bleacher butt, if that's what you want to call it. But but no, we had a lot of fun. And so I grew up around volleyball. I grew up around soccer. My sister, just the next one older than I, she's now also a Mobilian. Becca, she played soccer as well. And so I got into both of those sports, just being around the field, being around volleyball, being around club tournaments, and I really loved them both. And so hard not to love that competition and level of play. And I just chalk it up to I had some phenomenal coaches in high school, and Matt Allen is actually still at Blue Valley North, and so he is setting records there and state championships and just doing a lot of great things in his career. And so he poured into me there, and Tom Holland on the soccer field, Stacia Buddha, those people have just poured into me even at a young age. And so, I got to go on to do some pretty cool things. I stayed home and went to Johnson County Community.
See, she took the cue. That is so good, Susan. We haven't had many guests that do that. That's awesome. And, Susan, we will get you back on. We're excited about Quinn being at UMS. You're going to be at a great place working with great people. Congratulations. Welcome to the team. You will be absolutely the happiest woman in Mobile once you get there and get your feet planted. Thanks for joining us.
I surely am excited. Thank you, gentlemen.
Take care.
There you go. Susan Shaw right there, UMS Wright Volleyball. We take a timeout. Our Legend Series, we've got Tony Stallworth up next right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency. Now for Hour 2, here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Mark Lasseter.
And we certainly welcome you into the second hour of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in Daphne, Alabama. Great first hour, and this second hour is even going to be better, as I am Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster and Coach Rick Cleveland. Coach, it is our Legend Series, and we've got a very special guest on the line with us now.
Yeah, we sure do, Randy. And you know, we've been doing this Legend Series, Mark, I don't know, too many years, and we love it. It's part of our summer showcase. And Tony Stallworth has been a friend of mine. He may have been my only friend at Huntington. I don't know. But I love this guy. He of course played basketball there at Huntington for Coach Posey, and it's just well thought of. He's on the board at Huntington now, and just got a new 4-year term. And I told him I'm glad it's him that's doing that, because boy, you deal with a lot of things, and he's dealing with a great president in Anthony Lee. But Tony graduated from J.F. Shields High School in 1974. And Huntington College in 1978, and he has his degree in physical education. He played basketball at Lomax Hannon and later coached there. And that's kind of where we're going to start off. And, Tony, welcome to PSR, pal.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's always – he's laid back now, boys. I'm just telling you. He's laid back. So just know this. If some of our buddies were with him, he'd really be laid back, and they'd be telling stories, and they'd be telling lies on everybody, including me.
That's so true.
I know it's true. I know it's true. But, Tony, you've had an amazing career. And, you know, I didn't even know this. You coached at Lomax Hannon for what, about 5 years. Is that right?
about 4 years.
How did that happen?
How it happened was this. I came out of high school and went to Lomax Heaven on an Upward Bound program the summer post by high school. And when I was there, they were trying to get the college off the ground, and they wanted to make commitments to Upward Bound students to return there as freshmen. So, hey, Rick, I had nowhere to go, not really. Beatrice, Alabama, it was a blessing. So I took the choice and did the 2 years there, and they made another promise to me. They said, if you do 2 years here with us, we'll get you in another church-based school. Well, here come Noel Watkins came down, was my coach, a sophomore year from Huntington. So I had a choice between Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina, or Noel gave me an opportunity to come to Huntington, which I never thought that would happen. So the right place at the right time, so to speak. So that's how I got to Huntington College. Noel Willie Watkins, former standout, was my coach sophomore year at Lomax Hammond.
And then, Rick,
what happened was I graduated at Huntington. Lomax Heaven made another commitment to me to come back and serve as assistant coach with Jerome Sanders. So it kind of like was a win-win situation there. And I got a degree both places and got a job coming back.
I love that. That's great. That's good stuff, Tony. And it didn't. And it didn't take long. In 1983, then you went over to Monroe.
While I was in Greenville, I had another offer. They offered me the Parks and Recreation director at one of the centers over there. So I did that along with the Lomax Hammond. Because that could save Lomax Hammond some money for paying me salary. They gave me a place to live in the dormitory on campus. Then I worked with Parks and Recreation. And then after I left Parks and Recreation, of course, I went to Monroe. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Well, let me give you the whole story. George Wallace gave teachers an 8% raise, and I had a degree for teaching at her. I said, well, it's time for me to use this degree. So that's how it happened.
This guy could jump out of a plane and land on his feet.
Tony, I
just told my buddies here, you could jump out of a plane and you would land on your feet. That's the kind of man he is. That's right. You sure have. You've been blessed. And,
eventually,
you are blessed and always have been, and a great teammate. And, heck, he was a coach at Huntington. I mean, he knew the offense, the defense. He knew everything. And I got a story one time. He even made Coach Posey his teeth fall out because we were doing something, Coach Posey said, "Hoss, Hoss," and Tony said, "Coach, it's okay." And his teeth fell out.
You know what he used to call me? He used to call me Buzz. He used to call me Buzz, remember?
Buzz, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And then you were his guy.
He confided in you. Yes, I worked back there with the towels, make sure that everybody got one towel.
Yeah.
Didn't get more than one towel.
No way.
That's it. You one towel for the whole. That's for the week.
Yeah, and we had a guy. We had a guy named Mutt Judkins, and Mutt needed five or six towels.
Yeah, you kept
Mutt and Tiki and all our buddies. You kept them straight, and I'm so thankful for that. But you know, I really want to get going into Brantley High School because there you go. You just walked into a doggone gold mine. This guy. I mean, you can say what you want to about coaching and doing winning and winning and winning, but when you develop players like Tony did at Brantley High School, there wasn't any doubt that they were going to win. Talk a little bit about getting into Brantley High School and meeting the Persons family and just that whole
thing. I got to tell you how I got there. Same guy that I was assistant coach with over to Greenville, at Lomax Heaven was Jerome Sanders. Jerome Sanders,
yep,
and I, both from JFCS High School, of course, Jerome Sanders, starting guard with John Drew. Jerome Sanders went back to Monroe County and took a job at Monroe County High School. At that time, he came and transferred to Crenshaw County. I'm sorry, went to Crenshaw County before Monroe County. And when he got to Crenshaw County, he was at Laverne High School. While he was at Laverne High School, the job at Bradley came open, they offered to him. He called me and said, I'm not going to take that job, man. You want it? I say, I'll take any job. Yeah. I'm in Monroe. I'm way down the river, on the river, on the river bank down in Monroe County, smaller school there, no athletes and all that. I'll take it. So I came over and took the job there. I tell him, I'm forever grateful that you gave me that job. And he says, I'm forever sorry that I didn't take it. So I landed on my feet there, and when I got there, Coach was Earl Henderson. He was He was Wesley and Chuck's coach, and Wesley and Aubrey Wilder was still there. Aubrey was a senior. Right. Aubrey was a junior. Wesley was a sophomore. I was the assistant coach, right, and Earl Henderson told me, "Say you take those young kids down in that junior high team, and you develop them." And he said, 2 years, I'm out of here, and this all be yours." Course, in 2 years, he was smart. Every damn guy on the team graduated. Yeah. Wasn't nobody left.
Nobody.
So that was a myth in his magic. So okay, no problem.
Yeah,
so when I saw exactly what was going to happen, I said, I got to start working quick. So I took a junior high team that was Wesley and Chuck's nephew. That's Eric Person, Derek Caldwell, Adrian Person.
Yeah.
Ashley Kilcrease, Andrew Kilcrease, Rick, you remember all those kids. But anyway, we went ahead. Junior high, they were 7 and 8 graders. Junior high, we went 44-0. Junior high, and then the 2 years ended, and we landed on our feet. All the good times that it turned bad. Now, back then, 1A school Brantley was playing Enterprise, Greenville High School, Charles Henderson, Richard Robinson down in Andalusia, Op High School. That was the schedule for one Brantley, because Brantley was a small school, but no small school would play them unless they had to.
No.
So here I am with a bunch of junior high kids coming up to the varsity team with no varsity experience and with a 5A, 6A, 4A caliber schedule. Whoa. First year we went 10 and 11.
Hey, Tony, you hang on just a second. We got to take a hard break here, all right? So when we come back, we're going to pick that story up right there. All right? So don't move. Folks, you got to tune in to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. It's the Legend Series, and we're speaking with Tony Stallworth. We'll be back with more right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Mark Laster, and Coach Rick Cleveland, and we're in our Legend Series. We're talking with Tony Stallworth, and Tony, we left it off. You were in your second year there. You had a crazy schedule, and you had no athletes. Tell us about it.
Well, I didn't have any varsity athletes. I had a bunch of hungry junior high kids that get ready to play a big schedule that the varsity coach left there for us. And it was rough. We went 10 and 11, but here's the underlying agenda. We were still 1A, so those 11 losses were to those larger schools, but the wins were in our area, so we still won the area. So we figured it out. We keep this schedule because they're going to keep us in the same area. So second year coming around, we do 2 times better. Third year, here we are. Last year of the tournament being played 1-3 over in Tuscaloosa. Right, Rick?
Yep, that's right.
Before they went to Birmingham. We go over there. Yep. We got Talladega Central. We got Frisco City with Creighton down there. And we got – and smart thing about playing Frisco City, we played a regular season and beat them. They were a real good team. JF Shields, was the only team to beat us that year. Twice. Couldn't beat
my
own
team. That's your school, too. Yeah,
couldn't beat my own team. Yeah, couldn't beat my own team.
And they told you about it, too. All those folks, all your buddies told you about that.
The Larry Wolf off all of them. They brought the broom out on the ground. So we said if we're gonna get beat by a good team, good program. So it all worked out. We get to Tuscaloosa. We behind in all three games. Talladega Central 17 down. We came back and won that double figures. St. Jude had us down 18. We came back and won. What we did was we played the style of basketball where we just simply gonna weigh you down, and in fourth quarter you're gonna be gone. So that's when the game is won. That was out there because we had enough players. We were about 12 strong with those junior high kids that came up. Remember now, they're only 9th and 10th graders now, but they got a lot of experience. So here comes Frisco City and the foul. Same scenario, they had us down 12. We beat them, left them at 32. I think the final score was 77 to 32. We went on to win it. Yeah. Well, we couldn't leave Tuscaloosa because of snowstorm. So here I am with a bunch of kids that's young and won a state championship, the first championship in the history of the school in any sport, can't get home to celebrate it, and I'm stuck with them in a snowstorm in Tuscaloosa. Road closed.
That's right. I was with you.
I couldn't leave until Monday.
No, that's right. I couldn't get back home either. That's exactly right. And it was, Tony. Listen, you guys blew them out from a point. I can't remember the point in the game, but I'm sitting there saying, that's my man right there now. That's my man. Watch. And I'll be darned, they went on a scoring rampage.
Yeah.
And it was a blowout. It was a blowout. Right. Half the people left because of the weather.
They did.
Yeah. Boy.
And,
of course,
we went on to Birmingham the next year in the opening. Again, we finally beat J.F. Shields, so we split with them that year. And J.F. Shields came to the tournament as 2A school that year.
Right.
So J.F. Shields won it that year, and so that was our second championship. Year three, we come back. J.F. Shields goes – we go to 2A. We meet J.F. Shields down in Bayman at Rick, you remember? That's the only time that we beat them. I hate we won because we disallowed them an opportunity to go back to state tournament because we beat them in a ring down in Faulkner.
That's right.
By Faulkner. And, of course, we went on to win three that year. Well, then they land the administrative duties, this, that, and the other. They couldn't pay me, so they was going to give me all kind of jobs. I had to take them. That took me out of basketball a little bit, and I kind of faded away from the game. Sometimes things just simply happen.
Well,
got to live now. Got to live. That's
right. Well, you got to live, and you just about had to do it because of the money. I mean, I'm just being – that's what it was like for us in those days.
That was offered from small other schools that actually the Crenshaw County Board of Education could not meet, but they felt like they could put – I have an administrative degree. Now, I got smart now. I make sure I got all my paperwork together because when that ball get deflated, I got to have somewhere to go.
So
I took advantage of every opportunity.
Well, and it was good for you because it was going to pay dividends later on, having been an administrator, of course, being the principal there, and you were also a member of the Crenshaw County Board of Education. And then I think the thing that where you made a difference throughout the state of Alabama and continue to do that, I might add, I don't. Mm-hmm. If I'm calling the state basketball tournament and I'm on the radio, I've always got to mention, well, now there's my buddy. He's doing something administratively. I'm not sure what it is, but I can promise you, if somebody steps out of line, Tony's going to be there to take care of it. And that's it's not going to be. So you joined the AHSAA as executive director in 2011. And you did everything. It's your job. You know, I can remember Steve and I talking about you and overseeing eligibility, championship events, classification, middle school stuff. But you had your finger in every aspect of the AHSAA. And, Randy, I don't know how much time we got.
You got about 4 minutes here.
You got 4 minutes. And so I want you to talk about your initial, as you go into Montgomery, your initial responsibilities as you saw it, but how that really changed as you got more into it.
Well, Steve actually told me when I got there that he wanted a guy that had an administrative background. He just told me straight up. He said, I want to have somebody that I can leave this office and I don't have to worry about it breaking down. He said, it's already shaky. It doesn't need to sink. So instead of me going everywhere with Steve or meeting, so Steve, he's a public speaker. He'll speak here anywhere. Just call it. You know that. I would stay there in the office. And if you stay in the office, not only are you going to learn your responsibility, but all the other responsibilities that you're responsible for, you got to learn them too. I had to have my hand in everything except Ron Ingram, of course. Ron had his own thing. You had to worry about that. But I had to have him in everything. I had to be decision making. I didn't want to have to call him every time something happened. Because Steve would tell you, don't call me with the problem, call me with the solution. And I learned from him. And I'm forever grateful for him for allowing me that opportunity. It was hard sometimes, but it was fair. It was fair. And he treated me with a lot of respect and a lot of trust. And I appreciated that.
You know, Tony, when you think about the job that you walked into there, that's the wrong way to say it. If anybody ever earned a position at the AHSAA, it's Tony Stallworth because of what he did, first of all, for basketball, second of all, what he did for education in Crenshaw County, and he continues to do it. I mean, he served as interim this and interim that even since his retirement. But the AHSAA, and this is where we get off to the side of the road, not us here, but the people. They think that the AHSAA makes all the rules. Yeah, I want you to explain to them who actually makes the rules, and you guys just carried out the rules.
The rules are made by the member schools. They make the rules. They are even in charge of making proposals to change rules or to amend some rules. But all the High School Athletic Association did and do at this particular time is to enforce the rules that the member schools have put in place. What happens is when you start having turnovers and turnovers and turnovers, people forget the originality and forget the real true meaning of the High School Athletic Association, and they treat the High School Athletic Association as the bad guy. And say, we are your governing body. We don't have a job if we went for the member schools. We represent you. So we had to change that tone and change that identity so they can understand. Not saying that they want to accept it, but at least they understood it. And it was much easier enforcing if they understand that we're for you. Either way, even if you don't know the rule, call. If you misapply the rule, then that's a penalty. But still, you got to know all that. That's why Steve put so many conferences and things together to continue to educate the educated. Who knew the educated from the top were the principals. A lot of principals didn't know. They didn't have an athletic background.
Yeah.
They just simply didn't know.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, Tony, and as we close out this segment, that's something to think about as we go to the final segment. You know, when we were coming up, most of the principals were former coaches.
That's right. We
saw that evolution of that changing. We saw it change, and when we saw it change, we saw athletics change. And the AHSAA had to adopt to that. And we'll talk more about that with Tony.
Let's do that. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we continue the Legend Series with Tony Stallworth right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
There's a little Boss Gags right there.
A little bit of Boss.
I would imagine Tony is a fan of Boss Gags.
And maybe even some Steely Dan.
Yeah, Steely Dan. He's a smooth operator, like Sade.
That's who I was thinking of a while ago on that Olivia Dean.
Yeah.
That's
fixing to say, Sade's right up Tony's alley. That's it.
A smooth operator. There you go. Hey, welcome back. There you go. Welcome back to Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We continue the Legend Series, and we got Tony Stallworth on the line with us. Coach, I'll let you pick it up.
Yeah, I'm going to pay a bill before I ask Tony the next question. You know, you got all of us here, Premier Collision has done so much for us, and we're so thankful for what Chris and Kim and Tyler and those folks do there. 1177 Sledge Drive. You can get them at 251-478-4500. Give them a call. We can all three vouch that they treat you like family. They treat your vehicle like it's the most treasured gift that you have in the world. And when you get it back, Christmas is here. And we're so thankful for Premier Collision. They've been on with us 20-plus years, and we certainly appreciate everything that they do for us. Tony, we're talking a little bit about the state office, and, you know, you had to educate the principals, you had to educate the coaches, and in some cases. But what was the most difficult thing that you think you – well, you don't think, you know. You had to deal with a lot of different things while you were in that office. What was the hardest situations, not one specific, but what were the hardest situations that you had to deal with being the voice of that office when you traveled?
Well, Steve figured out one thing. In order to get everybody where they need to be, we needed to start at the lowest level possible. The hardest thing, I'm going to just tell you, was recruitment. It was because you got situations where coaches just simply got pressure on them to compete.
Yeah.
And you ain't winning no damn basketball games or no contests if you ain't got players. So now your hand is forced. That's the name of the game. That's the name of the game.
You're right.
You got to rob somebody to get better.
Yep.
Well, we always understood that because we were all former coaches. Of course, I had to kind of put the fool Nelson on Wanda sometimes because she thought sometimes she was a champ in town.
Slow down, Wanda.
It ain't that kind of damn party. These people you work for, not against.
Oh, my goodness.
He said, I used to do one of like, he said, go ahead and talk to her, please. We got to go get her, You ain't got to do anything but let them know what the rules are. If they break up, then they'll come to you. Because see that, his father? He never accused anybody of anything. If you call that office and said that somebody was stealing your players over there, he killed that conversation and said, have your principal to put it in writing. We'll send it to the principal that you're accusing. Cut the middle stuff out. Now sometimes it just fades away. It don't even happen. Because what they wanted to do was, what Steve wanted to do is protect the image. You ain't going to make us be the bad guy. We don't have this information. You got it. So if you got it, you send it. On your letterhead.
Right.
But to get down to the root of it, Steve made me head of middle school. He said, we got to have middle school conferences every year, and I want you to do it. And we're going to sit down with those middle school, because middle school in Montgomery was terrible.
Yeah, bad.
Those guys, a lot of them were volunteer coaches. They were coaches that were hungry to prove that they could be varsity coaches. They not only did that, they did not know anything about the rules. They didn't care to know anything about the rules.
they didn't care if they broke the rules. That's exactly right.
Brandon Dean was the administrator for all middle schools at that particular time. Of course, he's, you know, we hired Brandon. Now Brandon is the director of Parks and Recreation in Montgomery.
Great guy.
And Brandon would come on to my office and sit down there with me on my desk and say, listen, I just want to know all the rules in here because I figure out knowing we can head off some of this lack of knowledge, et cetera. So we started having a middle school conference. Brandon would attend. We would have sessions. And be perfectly honest, which I had more people from Birmingham to come to the middle school conference than Montgomery.
Yeah.
I just think that most of them was just afraid of letting everybody know how far they were behind and not knowing. And we had to simply do everything through middle school conferences, and it got better. And from that, what happened was, once some of those guys did emerge up into high school, they helped their middle school coaches then understand that, hey, you got to learn the rules down here at this level because it's applicable to you as well because even though you're not in a championship program with the association, you still got to abide by the rules when it comes to eligibility, academic rule, age rule, et cetera. And, of course,
right.
Transfer rules. You got to. So to make a long story short, we went that direction. You're not going to stop everybody from cheating because everybody wants to win. But at least they'll know that, listen, if you're going to set, you can't circumvent a rule if you don't know it. All you're going to do is make it worse.
That's right.
And that's why I give so much credit to private schools. People talk about private schools, but those private schools, most of those administrators, they know the rules. They really do. And most of them go by the rules. It's just that they got more resources to influence decisions, but they still go by the rules. And nobody's perfect, most of them. And it has gotten somewhat better, but that was a problem then, and it's still a problem. But it's not as big of a problem as it was when I went there in 2011. When I went there in 2011, I think that's the same time that Steve and them had just got through taking this football team that went undefeated from up north. Was it Clay Chalfa? Was that what it was?
Clay Chalfa. They took him out. That's right.
When I stepped on those grounds, that was about 45 to 50 news reporters, security guards, administrators. That place was full. I started to go back home.
No, Tony, that's not true. When you saw you thought they were there for you to get you off of their campus. But he loves that.
All they had to do was tell me to go. They didn't even want to blue light.
Oh man. Hey, Tony, I got a question for you.
Truly a great experience. Got a chance to build a lot of relationships. Those relationships are long lasting. I see people now that we had to make decisions on then. That said to us, you know what? We didn't know then, but we know now that you guys were only doing your job. That's all, doing your job.
That's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Tony, I do have a question. You know, you hear you get asked that question about how tough was this, how tough was that. Tell us the best part of that job. What was the? You know, there's got to be some, because that was a tough job. You guys that work in that office, it was almost a no-win situation most of the time. But tell us, what was the good parts, the part you couldn't wait to see happen, or something you knew was just really good that you enjoyed about that job?
Coming from a small school, coming from a low socioeconomic environment, knowing how hard it was for small schools to get an opportunity to be in the limelight, I always cherished when it was an opportunity to give a small school a championship. Because those communities, they just do things right. And they have it hard coming up. And for them to take the small amount of resources that they have and go through the rigors of a season into championship program and eventually winning, it was just something not just for the team, it's for the whole community. I mean, a lot of schools, they win them all the time, and they just, you know, ain't no parade no more. Just zone their schedules. I used to tell people that at Brandon, I said, listen, they say, when we going to the state tournament? Listen, state tournament is not a regular season game. You earn that right. It's on your schedule, but it's not on your schedule for you to participate, only if you earn it. So small schools getting a chance to get recognition, and they cherish those championships forever. I mean, they put signs out in front of their schools, and they go into those small churches and give recognition, and it goes on almost a whole year. And I get warm when it's time to pass them either a runner-up trophy, because I know what they've gone through, because I've been down that road.
You know, it's funny. She's not funny. It's very true. I can remember directing state tennis tournaments, and one of the coaches would say to me, and I remember saying it to me, you know, the AHSAA is going to be here, and they're going to watch us like a hawk. And I knew Tony was coming. I said, let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about anything with the representative coming from the AHSA, because he's not going to do anything. The only person he's going to get on is me. It's the only person he's going to get into. So,
all I'm going to do is find out, Rick, tell me what I need to do next. Because what you do is you don't hire a person and police them. If a person is
proven to be, have the knowledge to run a program. All you got to do is be there to assist them and make sure they got their resources, things they need in place, and let it go. I love coming down to tennis. Didn't know nothing about it. Number one, when you played over the Huntington.
that was a sight to see.
Rick was the only guy who came to basketball practice with his damn tennis racket.
I love this guy. Tony, thank you for taking time out of your Saturday morning. This has been a blast for all of us. And I love you. And there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. And I don't think these two guys, now that they've heard you, I think you could call them and they'd do anything for you too, just like everybody that knows you.
Let me tell you this, Rick, before you go. I want you to send me your address because Huntington, again, has given me another achievement. I'm going to be recognized for the, they call it the Educational Achievement Award, Alumni Educational Achievement Award. So, and I want you to attend. So send me your address, okay?
I'll be there. I'll be there with blue jeans and a sweater. You can imagine
you,
that.
On the way.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, all Tony. Right. Man, that was great. That was great. Tony Stallworth right there, part of our Legend Series. That was some good segments right there. There is no doubt. All right. We'll take our final timeout. When we come back, Coach Mark Glasser has our Camp Grace segment right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
Today I want to talk to you about sportsmanship that honors God. Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." And only then can I be the kind of person and sportsmanship coach that I'm supposed to be. You know, I was watching the 7-on-7 tournament the other day, and there were just some great moments in that deal. You know, you watch them play, and one of the things that I remember, you know, Ham Barnett was talking about on Tuesday, we played over at St. Paul's, and he was talking about, you know, guys, we're out here to get better, to work on something. Yeah. Take care of one another. This doesn't mean anything. In the big scheme of things, it doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah.
Take care of one another. No sense coming out here trying to be physical and helmets. You know, I remember Coach Meadows, my high school coach, said one day they had this old kid named Theo. Theo played linebacker. And we never saw Theo do a thing until Thursday. And on Thursday, he'd light somebody up. And Coach Meadows said, finally, he says, "Theo, you All-American in shorts and a helmet. But you ain't worth the crap in pads." You know, I'll never forget that. And he was right.
Yeah.
You know, Theo really didn't like contact unless he could hit somebody without his pad. Anyway. But, you know, and that's kind of what Ham was saying. You know, we're out here to help because those things can get physical. And you want to be physical, but you don't want anybody to get hurt.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you can have at a 7-on-7. So you just don't want that to happen. So with that in mind, we get ready to play this thing. And there were times it got a little chippy or whatever, but I saw a couple of times. I saw a linebacker from Navarre High School.
Yeah.
Kid comes across the middle. And actually, the kid from Navarre was he wasn't playing it right. He was actually looking at the quarterback when he was supposed to be dropping to a zone. Yeah. He doesn't see this receiver that's running. The receiver's running, and he's looking at the quarterback. Neither one of them are looking where they're going, and the linebacker just planted the kid. I mean, drilled him. But immediately, as soon as that kid hit the ground, the Navarre linebacker reaches down and grabs him, you know, and pulls him up off the ground and pats his helmet. And you could see him patting his chest saying, "Hey, that was my fault. I'm sorry about that." Because he didn't. That's what this is supposed to be about.
Right.
That's what sportsmanship is about. Whether he was at fault or not, or, you know, are you trying to set the tempo? Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, who cares about setting the tempo is what we do on Friday night when we get ready to play.
That's right.
That's a different deal.
That's a different.
But
animal.
In a 707 thing, that's just not it.
Yeah.
And there were times, you know, I saw a touchdown get called back by the guy operating the clock. You know, they have a stopwatch.
Yeah.
And he's operating the clock, and he's watching it. When it gets to 4 seconds, he clicks it. If the ball's not thrown, the play's dead.
Yeah.
And I saw it, you know, I saw it actually get, I think it was Fairhope High School. They had their younger kids playing. It wasn't their varsity guys. And I knew that it looked to me like it was a little bit quick, you know. And I thought, and Caleb Ross, I was watching Caleb, and he was like, you know, I could see him say something at first and shake his head, but then he held his hands up and did thumbs up to the guy and went on about it business. You know, there wasn't any sense making a big deal of it.
No.
You know, that's the kind of sportsmanship. These guys are out here doing a job. And so I saw kids do it. I saw coaches do it. And then the bad side of it, I saw one coach get – guy. I just heard it in out of my periphery when we were playing, and I heard all of a sudden this huge commotion behind me, and there was a coach just – I mean, absolutely obliterating this official. And he wasn't an official. He was the clock keeper.
Right.
Whoever he was. I don't know if he's an assistant coach or whatever he worked for the city. I don't know I don't know who he was. All I know is the coach was cursing him.
Oh.
It was really bad. And it wasn't from – it was from a different state. It wasn't from our state, thank goodness, because I didn't have a clue who he was. But I remember – and I heard – and I saw Coach Trotter turn around and look, and then he looks at our guys and he goes, if I ever act like that, please send me to an institution.
Yeah.
And he goes, that's not me. I've lost my mind.
Yeah.
And I was really – that really impressed me. You know,
sure.
He addressed it immediately. He had nothing to do with it, but he told his guys, and basically, we're not going to act like that. And and I was really impressed with that, and our kids watched it, and it's – one of those things I remember years ago in Alex City, one of our kids heard some coaches talking, and I think Coach Sav heard some kid players. We walked by the locker room of the other team, and the coach was just really letting his kids have it, and some really bad language. And one of our kids walked by, and I think, I don't know if it was I heard him or Coach Sav heard him, and the kid was talking to the kids, I'm glad our coaches don't talk like that.
Absolutely.
Or talk to us like that. I'm glad they don't talk to us like that.
Yeah.
You know? And that tells me a little bit about sportsmanship, about leadership, about who we are as people. Why would I act like that? Is it because of my vain conceit? Is it because of my ego? That's what it's about most of the time.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think about those things, and I think, I want to be that linebacker from Navarre.
Yeah.
That's who we should always strive to be, is that guy who reaches down, picks them up, stands them on their feet, and walks back to the huddle and, you know, and says, man, that was my fault, and goes about doing his job. And I just think there's a way in sports and in to have sportsmanship, which ought to be the thing, because at the end of the day, it's not going to be the state championships that you're remembered by. It's not going to be the record. It's not going to be the accolades. It's going to be the integrity of the man that you are.
Absolutely.
That's what's going to be known about you and thought about you as time goes by. And I think those are the things that we've lost sight of. You know, we have to work on that. And I think it's something we need to work on. I love the fact that, Rick, you were teaching leadership and character at UMS your last few years there. I think that's a wonderful thing to teach. I think it needs to be taught in middle school, high school, male, female. Everybody needs to go, at least, it needs to hear it daily.
Amen.
Because all we, you know, what do you hear daily? What do we see daily today? Everybody's on that phone. What are they looking at? They're looking at poor behavior most of the time.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's right.
Why don't we have something every day is how to be good. How to have good behavior.
Mark, that's right on target. You and Randy both have the book by Richard Simmons. I thought it was when Chris Yeager got me into it, he said, it's called The Measure of the Man. And I thought Richard Simmons was a guy that used to be on TV.
Yeah.
That's the first thing
I was going to ask you about that.
Curly so, hair and yeah. short shorts.
So I got it. Yeah.
One, two, it. Three, four. One, two,
I got
three,
it.
Four.
I got into it. The whole book is about we don't work for but one, and that's God. Everything we do, that book is so right on target. Everybody needs to read it. When you read it, it will change those things. That guy that from that did all that cussing, he needs to read
yeah,
this book
does.
Real good. Guys, thank you, Randy. Thank you for being here. Isn't it a joy to be together?
It is.
Such a joy. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. See you here same time, same place next week.